The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Black Wall Street Remembered, Part 2. As we observe the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, here's why we must never forget one of the worst atrocities in American history. Regina Goodwin, a fourth-generation resident of historic Greenwood, Oklahoma, still remembers the stories her grandparents told her about one of the most horrific incidents of racial violence in the United States. Incited by the claim that a black man assaulted a white woman in an elevator, it is said that a white mob threatened to lynch the suspect. When black residents, some of them World War I veterans, showed up at the courthouse to protect the detained man, they found themselves face to face with the mob. Gunshots were fired as white vigilantes attacked the nearby African American area of Greenwood over a period of 2 days, beginning on May 31, 1921. They looted and rioted, then burned Greenwood to the ground. Private planes were seen raining bombs down on buildings, with an estimated 1,500 homes and 600-plus businesses destroyed and approximately 10,000 people left homeless. Black people were murdered and burned alive, Goodwin says. They were told to come out with their hands up, we won't shoot, and they'd come out with their hands up and be murdered. When the mob set the Goodwin residential and commercial properties on fire, death became a real possibility as Edward and his family hid inside their home. It would be the only property the Goodwins owned that wasn't destroyed. My great-grandfather had a very fair complexion and looked like a white man, Goodwin says. It was said that during the massacre, when the race mobs were coming down the street, he just waved them off and they kept moving. Those blacks who weren't arrested by the Oklahoma National Guard and detained in internment camps walked along the railroad tracks that divided the prosperous black section of Tulsa from the area where some of the white people were struggling economically. Many Greenwood residents who ran for their lives ended up at the Tulsa Fairgrounds, where they were fed and given mattresses. The Goodwins were among those who returned to rebuild, along with John and Lola Williams, owners of the Dreamland Theater. Despite all of our property that was burned to the ground, my family stayed, Goodwin says with great pride. That is the story folks need to know, that even though it was destroyed, black folks rebuilt Greenwood to its same glory. By 1942, approximately 242 black-owned businesses had been re-established. By the time Regina Goodwin was born, however, in the 1960s, there wasn't much left of the rebuilt Greenwood. Even Booker T. Washington High, used as a triage center during the massacre, was renamed and converted into the elementary school that she would attend. By the 1970s, a new threat displaced much of what was left of the community. You had what folks called urban renewal, which is urban removal for many folks, she says. Goodwin's parents were among those asked to move out of their home. Almost 50 years later, she says, there is still an empty lot in the space where their house used to be. You destroy the houses and you begin to see the demise of a community. Black communities in particular. But for Goodwin, the fight is not over. She decided to pursue a life in politics. As a state representative, she's continuing to do the work she says she was already doing as a private citizen. My grandmother told us that service is a rent. You pay for room and board on earth, she explains. After the massacre, her great-grandmother, Harley Marie Goodwin filed a lawsuit demanding reparations. Even knowing that the murderers were still walking around, she had enough tenacity to go down to the courthouse and file that suit, Goodwin says. And, of course, she was rejected outright. Now, in 2021, I still firmly believe in reparations. Many folks were never made whole. We have got 106-year-old seniors who are survivors of the massacre. Why are their needs not being addressed? Today, there's not much left of what Gurley imagined Greenwood could be. The notion of rebuilding another Black Wall Street has been hampered by the 200-acre Oklahoma State University satellite campus in the Tulsa Drillers baseball stadium. People hear glorious stories of Black Wall Street, so they expect to see a thriving Black community, Goodwin says. When you come now, you're going to see gentrification and a lot of white folks in the area that was once a bustling Black Wall Street. Black people at this point make up less than 1/4 of the Greenwood Historical District's residents. It is difficult to negotiate when you don't own the land, Goodwin notes. So I have asked the mayor to give land back to the Greenwood Cultural Center since they gave 200 acres to OSU Tulsa. It's fair to say most Black folks had never heard of the Tulsa Massacre until they saw the first episode of HBO's Watchmen and witnessed the businesses owned by beautiful Black people set on fire by armed white men in a heinous act of hatred. The heartbreaking scenes from a fictional cable show set in 1921 were all too real. We also watched the gruesome killing of Black people in Tulsa on HBO's sci-fi series Lovecraft Country. We had to catch a history lesson from a cable network because what happened in Greenwood was so conveniently omitted from textbooks. But decisions to add it back to the Oklahoma public school curriculum were made last year. And while the rest of the country catches up on the tragic yet little known storyline, Goodwin continues her family's mission of speaking truth to power. She's walking in the footsteps of her grandfather, who founded the Oklahoma Eagle newspaper in 1936 for that purpose, and of her father, Edward Jr., who, with his two brothers, later took over the paper. We owe it to our ancestors to never forget what happened and to move forward and to be excellent. Goodwin emphasizes, I know that there are people here that care. We have resilient, intelligent, and tenacious people here, both Black and white, that will fight for right. Until the battle is won, Goodwin will continue to drive around with a personalized license plate that reminds us of the wrongs that have never been made right. Pay BWS, the tag reads. In other words, pay Black Wall Street. The next article is titled Tulsa 100 Years Later, Black Tulsa Then and Now. On May 31st, 1921, rumors that a Black man accused of assaulting a white woman was going to be lynched resulted in a confrontation between whites and Blacks outside the courthouse where the young man was jailed. By June 1st, the residents of Greenwood were forced to flee their homes. About 6,000 African Americans were taken by the National Guard internment camps. Some were burned to death in their homes. Others were gunned down. Newspaper headlines tell of the horrific aftermath. At the time, it was believed 15 people had died, but estimates of the dead and missing range from 300 to 3,000. O.W. Gurley was the man with the vision of what 35 square blocks could be. He invited Black Americans to purchase lots from the 40 acres he had bought in 1905. Ellis Walker Woods, Booker T. Washington High School principal, 1921, said, "You are as good as 90% of all people, and better than the other 10%. The high school was named after Booker T. Washington, who was so impressed with Greenwood, he called it, quote-unquote, Negro Wall Street. Greenwood Rising, which will house a history center, opens at Greenwood's iconic entrance this spring. Greenwood 2021, on the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, blacks comprise only 11% of the Greenwood Historical District population. The next article is titled, Keeping It Close to Home. There's a photo the Gibbs family holds close to their hearts. It's of Ernestine, the matriarch of the family, who passed away in 2003 after living and loving for 103 years. In the picture, Ernestine is dressed in her cap and gown. She and Edward Goodwin were both students at Booker T. Washington High School in 1921. On the day the Tulsa Massacre began, Ernestine was at home studying when a man knocked on the front door to warn the family of the mayhem that was happening around them. Ernestine, her mother, and cousin managed to escape with their lives. They eventually made their way to relatives in Sapulpa, Oklahoma, before returning to Tulsa few months later. The mob had incinerated every worldly possession they owned, and there was no insurance money coming, despite legal attempts to help recoup damages for survivors. Bolstered by the inspiring words that Ellis Walker Woods, the principal of Booker T. Washington High School, had shared with her students, "You are as good as 90% of all people and better than 10%. Ernestine went on to earn a degree in English from Langston University and returned to her high school as a teacher. She later married Leroy Gibbs, and upon retirement, they opened Gibbs Fish and Poultry in the 1950s and on Lansing Avenue. Eventually, urban renewal and a new highway forced them out. But it is said, who God blesses, no man can curse." The Gibbs opened other successful businesses, including a laundromat and an 11-unit shopping center that included a restaurant. Unfortunately, a family member sold the center upon Leroy's death. Determined to return the businesses to the family, Ernestine's grandson, Leroy Gibbs II, and his wife, Tracy, bought the newly 55,000-square-foot building out of foreclosure, paying for it with retirement savings so they could continue the Gibbs proud legacy. As told to Leanna Jackson by Ernestine Gibbs' daughter, Carolyn Roberts, and her granddaughter-in-law, Tracy Gibbs. Corporate America's Racial Awakening, 1 year later, is the title of the next article. In 2020, big businesses made new commitments to combat systemic racism and social injustice. But are they fulfilling their promises to the Black community? It was Sharon Shutter, founder and CEO of Uoma Beauty, who called out brands for posting Black squares on Instagram without actually putting effort into their corporate strategy to enact real change at a systemic level. The movement she inspired, brilliantly called Pull Up for Change, has since garnered support for more than 120,000 followers on Instagram and sought to hold brands accountable for implementing lasting change. After seeing the reaction to George Floyd's murder and the amount of performative activism I was seeing from brands, I thought, well, what's the next step? Says Shooter. Her pull-up for the change has become one of the frontline progressive social movements of this generation. The bottom line? Be transparent. Release the data of how many Black employees work for the company, including the number in leadership roles. The corporate reckoning has since led to monumental change, underlying the fact that a commitment to racial equity starts with enacting policy changes and implementing long-term strategies for equitable solutions. Some brands had house cleaning to do in order to achieve this goal, because posting Black squares on Instagram might make them seem down for the cause, but what truly mattered was more than transparency, more accountability. Brands that had long been silent on social justice issues began speaking out. Last June, Walmart and the Walmart Foundation pledged to contribute $100 million over 5 years through their Centers for Racial Equity to address racial disparities. And United Airlines, which recently announced a United Executive Council on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and formalized mentoring programs to support and retain Black executives. Our focus has been on making structural changes that move us toward our goal of being the most inclusive airline in the industry, said United Airlines Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer Jessica Kimbrough. Building on an already rich history of industry first, like the first Black president, the first Hispanic CEO, and the first female board chair, we adopted a quote-unquote proof, not just promises, philosophy to demonstrate our commitment through our actions, its strategic approach that makes us a better airline for our customers, our employees, and all the communities we serve. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs, a leading global banking, securities, and investment management firm, surprised the internet by sharing plans for its 1 million Black women OMBW initiative, a $10 billion investment in support of Black women over the next 10 years. That's right, $10 billion set aside exclusively to facilitate the advancement of Black women. How we hire women, how we retain women, and how we promote women, how we invest in their companies. This is a massive cultural issue with deep roots, says Margaret Chinwe Anadu, Global Head of Sustainability and Impact for Asset Management, who in 2018, when she was 37, became Goldman Sachs' youngest Black woman partner. The private sector has a role to play, and capital has a role to play in this moment. It does appear that in the corporate sector, real change is beginning to happen. American Family Insurance's $105 million philanthropic approach seeks to close equity gaps by focusing on five pillars: economic empowerment, education and health equity, climate resilience, criminal justice reform, and workforce diversity and equity and inclusion. We want to show our commitment and meaningful impact through actions across every level, including how we impact our community, our customers, and our employees, and our internal environment, says Talisha Yancey, COO of American Family Insurance. We want to be seen as leaders and co-conspirators in crafting a world where all people can freely pursue the American dream, regardless of race, background, or social economic status. We want our customers and their respective communities to see us as a champion for dreaming and the achievement of those fearless dreams that measure up to the great American ideal. In addition to dollars being pledged to communities of color, we have also seen changes at the C-suite level. TIAA recently named J.P. Morgan Chase's Tashonda Brown Duckett as its new CEO, and Rosalind Brewer, the former Starbucks executive, became the only Black woman leading a Fortune 500 company when she took over the helm at Walgreens in March. "We are going beyond accountability now," says Shooter. "You can lead a horse to water, but can't force it to drink water. Of course, we want the companies to release numbers, but we want to go beyond that. My focus has always been direct action. Now we are focusing on creating jobs and the importance of economic allyship." The next article is titled, "Here's How Other Companies Are Implementing Change." J.P. Morgan Chase and Company. The financial giant announced a $30 billion commitment over the next 5 years to address the racial wealth divide. American Express, $1 million in grants will be awarded to 25 historic and culturally significant restaurants with a focus on those owned by people of color in the U.S. to help them navigate the impact of the pandemic and to support their financial recovery. Nike, Inc., as part of the company's $140 million investment to address racial inequality, Nike contributed $1 million to Goal Setter to seed 10,000 kids' savings accounts with a focus on Black youth. Another $2.75 million will be donated to local organizations that fuel economic empowerment and social justice programs. Diego North America established an innovative program with historically Black colleges and universities to develop future leaders and help shape a more equitable society. Indeed, the leading job search site announced a collaboration with Emmy Award-winning writer, creator, and actor Lena Waithe and her company Hillman Grad Productions to create the Rising Voices Initiative. Rising Voices will discover, invest in, and share stories created by Black, Indigenous, and people of color, filmmakers, and storytellers. The goal is to elevate the theme, the meaning of work, and the idea that good jobs can anchor our communities. Visa. The company announced a new partnership with Black Girl Ventures. The program will digitally support Black-owned small businesses in cities such as Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami, and Washington, D.C. Websites for these businesses will be eligible for grants, mentorship, new educational tools, and technology resources. The next article is titled Essence Wellness House, a Virtual Summit, Years of Renewal. Essence Wellness House was just the place to be in January as the goal of resetting to attain a shift to optimal wellness was top priority. With 2020 creating a new standard of normal, wellness and health experts share the importance of cultivating and maintaining healthy lifestyles through proper nutrition, a balance of activity coupled with rest and nourishing one's soul through positive relationships and home life, sponsored by Walmart and Nordstrom. First, self-care isn't optional, and the programming during Essence Wellness House laid out exactly why your total well-being is a priority. Number two, Nordstrom joined Essence's editor Brandy Victorian in a conversation outlining the healthy road to body positivity with clinical psychologist Adia Gooden and lifestyle influencer Shantae Burkett. Number three, Walmart's executive president of Health and Wellness, Dr. Cheryl Pegus, shared ways to love your body by taking care of it with viewers. Essence Lifestyle Editor Charlie Penn talked about the importance of healthy relationship habits with Cody and Tommy Oliver, creators of Black Love docuseries and BlackLove.com. Shadeen Francis, licensed sex and relationship therapist, and Nedra Tawab, therapist, content creator, and author. The next article is titled, Get Your Grill On. Cookout season has returned. Become the grill master of your backyard with this must-have guide to throwing down. Get saucy. Show off your skills and become a part of a family folklore by making your own sauce, says Chef Richards. Sauces can be made with spices, fruits, and vegetables. If you are short on time, doctor up a good pre-made bottle, recommends Kevin Hart's chef, Kay Chase. Add bourbon, citrus fruits, chipotle in adobo, and maple brown sugar. You'd rather buy than DIY. Chef Martine Dreluck of Post and Bean in Crenshaw likes sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Don't forget the veggies. Vegetables release key nutrients after being grilled. For the best effect, keep it simple. Use smoked salt, black pepper, olive oil, fresh garlic, and aged balsamic vinegar, suggests Chef Deborah Ventrice. Try it on bell peppers, onions, zucchini, eggplant, asparagus, and tomatoes on the vine, and add veggie burgers to the menu. Fruits can shine too. Throw apples, pears, bananas, or peaches over the flame. Pineapple slices make a great substitute for hamburger buns. And for desserts, try making blueberry cobbler right on the grill. The next article is titled, The Meat and Seafood Manual. Steak. Consider the cut, seasoning, and marbling of the meat before you grill. I use cracked black pepper, fresh herbs, fresh garlic, olive oil, and really great salt for my favorite bone-in ribeye with intense marbling, says Chef Ventrice, a Twisted Soul cookhouse and pours in Atlanta. Other smart grilling choices, sirloin, porterhouse, T-bone steak, and tenderloin. Pork ribs. Ribs are a staple on the menu when it comes time to fire up that grill. But how can you nail them every time? Slow cook with herbs, salt, and pepper, and brown sugar, says Chef Stout. It is all about the sauce for this one. For a boost of flavor, follow the lead of Chef Deborah Jones of Jones Barbecue in Kansas City. Use hickory chips. You can get them from a local grocery store. Chicken. Skinless chicken breast and lean ground poultry can be tasty as well as healthy choices for your next cookout. Cook boneless chicken pieces quickly over direct high heat and bone in pieces longer using indirect low heat. My favorite cut is a boneless chicken thigh, says Chef Drella. Brine it first and then put it on the grill. It will stay pretty moist that way. Seafood. Chef Javon Cummings of Tapestry Restaurant at Treasure Beach Hotel suggests grilling whole fish or fillets. Whole snapper or salmon fillets are great with a fresh rub of thyme, garlic, cilantro, sea salt, and cracked black pepper, he says. Cook skin side down at medium high. Choose a high smoke oil like safflower or vegetable oil. Also try swordfish shrimp and mahi-mahi wrapped in foil. We have run out of time. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.